Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak and Shalom. We are now in Masachet Bavarachu Daf Tzadi Chet Amud Bet at Mishnah Dalet of the sixth parak. Mocher makom lechaveru. Mocher makom lechaveru lasuk a beit chatanut livno beit amanut livito. So either a fellow is buying a location for a house, we'll see what kind of house that is in a minute, or somebody accepts a job to build a house for another fellow, and the examples that are given are a beit chatanut, a wedding house, as it were, for his son, or beit amanut levito, or a widow house, a place where his daughter would live after she became a widow. Then boner ba'amot al sheish, the minimum required is 4 amot by 60. Very kiva. Rishmael omer refet bakar hizu. Rishmael seems to just respond to the Kiva and says 4 by 6 is too small, that's just a barn. And then the next line is a little bit strange. I would say Lasut Refet Bakar Boned Dalamot Al Shesh. So indeed, a barn is 4 by 6, that seems to be Rabbi Shmuel. Bait Katan Shesh Al Chet. But what's a small house? Is 6 by 8, that's the minimum, 6 by 8 Amot. Gadol Chet Al Eser. A large house is 8 by 10. Traklin, which is sort of a larger hall, is yad al yad, 10 by 10. And then the general rule is rumo kachatzi or kol v'chachatzi rochbo. The height has to be the sum of half the length and half the width. So in other words, the average between the length and the width will be the height. Ra'yel, the Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Omer Kivinyan Ha'echal. And again, the wording here is strange. It should be Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Omer Ra'yel, Barbar Kivinyan Ha'echal. And therefore, we have to deal with that sequencing also. But that we see that the way that Shlomo built the Mikdash seems to parrot that notion of half the width plus half the length equals the height. All right, let's see. Lamalid mini beit chatanut levno beit amanut levito. So why is it that the Tana used the example of a beit chatanut for his son, but a beit amanut for his daughter? So lid the beit chatanut levno levito beit amanut levno levito. Why didn't you just say beit chatanut or beit amanut for his son or his daughter? In other words, why do the gender assignments here? So Melta Gavorcha Gamashlan, the Tan is teaching us an incidental piece about etiquette, shall we say. That it's inappropriate for a son-in-law to live near his father-in-law. In other words, that a man whose son is getting married will build the house for his own son. Somebody who's building for his daughter is if the daughter is a widow. Kidechtiv is Sefer Ben Sira. And here they quote Sefer Ben Sira, which of course is the book from the Apocrypha from the 2nd century BCE that was closest to making it into the Tanakh and did not, is quoted widely by Chazal. Ben Sira composed this book based on the book of Mishlei. And occasionally Chazal will quote him just as they would do Mishlei with good advice. Hakol shakalti b'chaf mozlaim v'matzati kal misubin. I've measured everything, and the lightest thing I could find was bran. The kalmi subin, but lighter than bran, is chatan adabar et chamiv. It's a chatan who lives in his father-in-law's house. Because he, in this kind of aphoristic way, said that it's a very bad thing. But kalmi chatan, what's even worse than that? Oreach machnis oreach. A guest who invites another guest in. The kalmi oreach, and even less than that, lighter than that, less worthy than that, is meshiv davar b'ter mishma. Somebody responds before hearing the full question. Somebody who does that, and he quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, it's a sin, and indeed a shame. Okay, Rabbi Shmuel and Refet Bakar Hizu. Now, Hartzela Sot said, Refet Bakar Mangtani La. Back in the Mishnah, I mentioned that the line about Refet Bakar is a little bit strange. Who is the author of that line? After Rabbi Kiva said 4 by 6 is a house, Rabbi Shmuel says 4 by 6 is a barn. And then we said, if you want to build a barn, it's 4 by 6. Who's saying that? Could be either way. Some people think Rabbi Kiva authored it. And this is, of course, not the conventional way of reading it. In other words, Rabbi Kiva is saying, I agree with you that 4 by 6 is a Refet Bakar, is a barn. Sometimes a person will make a house that's small, an apartment that's that small. Or some people think that Rabbi Shmuel is the author. Rachi Kamarshaw. So Bakar Sal Ramot Al Shesh. Rabbi Shmuel is simply saying, what you, Rabbi Kiva, described as a minimal house is a Refet Bakar, because a Refet Bakar is 4 by 6. Okay, Traklin Yodal. You have my Traklin. What's a Traklin? It would be a big hall. Kufta Bevardi. So it could be like a Kufta. There's a Machlok of Shonim, what that means. Whether it means that there are windows, or that means that it's some sort of a tent or something, or it's surrounded by roses. But it's a large kind of building. Tani, so Kanter. What's a Kanter? Shtem Israel Yudbet. That's even bigger. My Kanter. Tarbet Zapadni. It's the yard of the, mansion. Okay. Again, in this Mishnah, we twice have a problem with the sequencing of the words. Who is it who authored the phrase Ma'arayel Devar at the end of the Mishnah? That's the way we understood it. In other words, they asked, what's a proof to the idea that the height should be half the width plus half the length? Rishon Gamliel says it follows the model of the Heichal. The Ikadama Tanakama Ktanila. Could be that the Tanakama said that. Rishon Gamliel was responding in wonderment. This is what he said to the Tanakama. Raya Minayin Minan Heichal? In other words, that the Tanakama said that it's the height is half the width plus half the length, and he alluded to the fact that the Mikdash is a model for that. Rishon Gamliel's response is, since one can bring a model from that? After all, most people do not build a building like the Mikdash. Tanya, Cherimam, Rumoka, Korotap, so we have a brighter that has a different approach, which is that the height is like the beams, and it's the length of the beams, that's the height. So why didn't you say the height is like the width, because that's the length of the beams? It's because the house, the beams taper off on top. Because there's windows, and windows are space that's not there in the width. And so therefore you would end up making it smaller. Okay, here's a story. He went out to the towns to see what they needed. Ramnibay Kray Hadadi. So he got there, and the people pointed out to him a contradiction. That the Mikdash was 60 by 20 by 30 high. The Kodesh Kodoshim was 20 by 20. That's fine, but 20 high. So how could the Kodesh Kodoshim be 20 high if the whole Mikdash is 30 high? It should be 30 high. He's the answer very simply. That the Kruvim are in the Kodesh Kadoshim, their wings go up to 10 amot. From 10 up is another 20. In other words, that the Cheshbon in the Pasuk in Malachim, in the first Pasuk in Malachim that we quoted, is the full height, and the second Pasuk was reflecting the height inside the Kodesh Kadoshim above the Kruvim. Okay, so what's that teaching us? So it teaches us that just by the lower spot is just like the higher spot. And it's by saying, calling the whole thing 30, we're saying the first 10, which have the Kruvim there, are as substantial or non-substantial as the top 20 that have nothing there. Mala mala in Meshamesh Klum, just like there's nothing up there. Aflamata in Meshamesh Klum. What does that mean? Messiah Rab Levi, the Amr of Levi, Vitim Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Misara, which Makom Arona Kuvim Eno Min Hamida. That in some sort of a mystical, metaphysical illusion, the Aron Kuvim take up no space. In other words, if you would measure the entire length of the room, and then you would measure from the edge of the Aron Kuvim to one side, and the edge of the Kuvim to the other side, you would get the same amount total, even though you have the Aron and the Kuvim in the middle, it should take up space. Tanya Namihachi. Aron Shasam Moshe, we have a brayta that says the same thing, that the Aron that Moshe made, Yishto Revach Esra Amot L'choruach Ruach. There are 10 Amot from each side of the Aron to the end of the Kodesh Kedoshim, and the whole Kodesh Kedoshim is 20 Amot. So it means the Aron isn't counted. It says if it's there, it takes up no space. Amar Avnoyim HaShmuel. So Shmuel says, Kruvim B'nei Sein Omdin. He says the Kruvim, this is a separate piece, stood miraculously. Why? Shenemar b'chamesh amot kanafa kruva echad. B'chamesh amot kanafa kruva shinit. Each one had a 5 amot long wing. Esra amot miktzot kafav yaktzot kafav. So in other words, each wing is 5 amot. So therefore, from one, the wingspan is 10 amot, as it were. So Gufaya Echad Bukaimi, if the entire thing takes up 10 amot, and from the each wing is 5, then where's the body? So therefore, just like we said, the Aron has takes up no space, so the body of the Kruvim takes up no space either. Maybe their bodies stick out and the wings are behind so that their bodies don't take up any new space. Rabba has another challenge on Shmuel. Maybe they were standing not exactly facing each other so that the room is taken up that way. Maybe the house tapers off and there's more space on top. Maybe they had their hands bent in. Maybe their hands were interwoven or interlocked. In other words, there's a lot of different ways that we could explain the setup of the Kruvim so that there is no miracle in the fact that their body doesn't seem to take up any space, because the way that you measure it, their body is kind of on a different plane. Okay, Kitzad Hein Umdin, how do the Kruvim face? Rabbi Yochan Rabbi Lazar. So one of this famous Dusam in the area says they face each other. Now they face out towards the walls of the Mikdash, of the Kodesh Kodoshim. But according to whichever one said they face each other, and says they face the house, that's if Bnei Yisrael are not doing Hashem's will, then they face back to back. And they face the bite. But normally, they face each other. And that's the normal setup. That's the famous midrash that when the enemies came in, they found the Kruvim facing away from each other. But the ones who quote the Pasuk in Devarim, you got the Pasuk in Shmot, which should carry a lot more weight that they face each other. The answer is the mitzad the atzduri. They don't really face each other. They kind of stand side by side. The Tanya Unklus Hageramar Kruvim Maasei Tzatzuim Hen. He quotes the Pasuk in Devarim. What is Maasei Tzatzuim? Mitzad Din Pam Gedam Niftam Rabo. It's almost like they're playing like kids, but not in the sense of playing, but that they are like students who are leaving the presence of their teacher. And so they're standing sort of sideways to each other. Okay, the next Mishnah. Mishnah is the boy the film beito shel chavero nichnas b'shash derech ben adam nichasin v'yotze b'shash derech ben adam yotzin. Let's say you have a bor, a cistern, that's in front of your friend's house. So you can come in at the normal time that people come to get water and leave at the same time. V'nochis b'hamto mashkem b'boro. You can't bring your animal in to give him drink. Ela malei mashkem b'chutz. You fill it up and bring it outside. V'zeo selopotachat, v'zeo selopotachat. You lock it up, and each one has a key so that neither one can get in without the other one. It's like a safety deposit box. Now, potachat lahecha, why do you need a key? Rabbi Yochanan, why do they both need a key? Shneim labor. So Rabbi Yochanan first says both of them, the key is to get into the bor. So bishtama balabor by lishtamoy my deborei. I understand why the owner of the bor wants to make sure nobody takes his water. Alabalabait lamalei. What does the balabait need to have a key to get into the thing? To make sure that he does not suspect that his own wife is doing something inappropriate with the Baal HaBor when he's in this locked area in front of the house or back of the house. Okay, well, a parallel piece. And this we saw referenced earlier on. If you have a garden that is inside another person's garden, and as the only way to get in is through his garden. You go in and leave at the time that people normally come in and out. You can't come in at all hours. Because of violation of privacy. You cannot bring in merchants to buy your produce from your garden. You have to bring it out to them. You also can't use it as a shortcut to get to your other field. You can only go in to be in that field. The guy on the outside gets to plant the path that goes in because it's really his. Now, let's say that the outside guy gave the inside guy another access road from the side, and they both agreed on it. Now the guy can come in and out whenever he wants. He can come in and bring merchants in. He still can't use it as a shortcut. Neither one of them can plant it because now it really does belong in a sense to the inside guy also. Okay, I'm going to read on Shmuel. Amar Beit HaShlachin HaMocherlach. This is a related piece. If a guy says, I'm selling you an irrigation ditch for a field, what's the minimum? Notein lo shtei amot l'tochai. You have to give him 2 amot wide of ditch, of irrigation. V'amamikam v'amamikam v'agapeh. On each side, he has an amah of banks for this ditch. Means that you can't do stuff there. Amar Beit HaKilon HaMocherlach. But if on the other hand, you say, I'm selling you Beit HaKilon, which means a watering ditch for feeding your, giving drink to your animals. Then it only has to be 1 amah wide. You need half an amah on each side, again, half of the width for the banks. The question is, who gets to plant on the outside on those banks? He says very simply, the owner of the field gets to plant. He says even more, he can plant there. Not just sow, but plant. Actually, it's machloket about what Shmuel said. Rabbi Yehuda said that Shmuel said you could plant, you could sow. Certainly, you could plant because planting actually strengthens the ground. Aval zoram lo, but he would say you can't sow. Another manotam, but Rav Nachman who said that Shmuel said that you could plant a tree, but not sow seeds. Why? Chachul mechalchul because it softens up and hurts the ground. Of the banks of this fellow's thing. Let's say the banks fell away. He gets to take from that same field and build up the banks. And the guy who bought the ditch in the irrigation area, he gets to build it up from the banks. Because everybody understands that the reason that the stuff fell and banked in was because the field itself was bad. So he gets to take from that field that was owned by the field owner. Why doesn't the field owner tell the ditch owner it was your water that busted up? The answer is that was the condition of the sale, that he bought the Bala Sadeh sold the irrigation ditch knowing that if the banks caved in, he'd have to provide more from his own land in order to build them back up. Okay, we'll pause at this point, pick up in the next podcast, in the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Zion, and we'll go from there on our continued study of Masechet Bava Batra. Everybody should have a wonderful day.